Welcome to BFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios, and we're so glad he's back, is the one and only Patrick Shane Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning, BFN Radio listeners. I want to encourage you that, it's going to work out. We win in the end, no matter what you're hearing, no matter the threats. We have some things to share with you today. It's going to encourage you and remind you whose you are. You are the Lord. Be strong. Be courageous, for the Lord thy God is with you. We'll give a shout out this morning, Indianapolis, Minnesota, to Brett Holderbaum and Sean in Indy. Good morning, good morning, good morning. We're so glad to have you on, Sean, as a new listener in Minneapolis, Minnesota. No, Indianapolis, Minnesota.
Indianapolis.
Yes, Indianapolis, Minnesota. Minnesota. Good morning, Sharon. Give a shout out to Texas this morning. Good morning, Kachara. Good morning, James. I thank you for being the light in Chevron. Encourage them there, for the Lord God has promoted you. Morning, South Florida. Good morning, Brianna. Amy, roller derby? Oh, my goodness. Girl.
Wow.
Good morning, David. So encouraging to hear you abiding with the Lord and hearing the voice of God. I got an armband waiting for you. Good morning, Joe Nathan. And Joe Dorden. Oh my goodness, what a wonderful day it is. Be encouraged. Shut off the naysayers. God has a plan in store for you. Morning, morning, morning. You are listening to VFN Radio, and this is your host, Greg Lancaster. And with me in the studios is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Here we are. It is Thursday.
Yes.
I think it was January the 1st a couple hours ago, huh?
I know. It just blinked.
You know, I was just reading, and I'm going to be getting, I guess, next week, hopefully, with some folk and about Haiti. But I don't know if you saw the email that was coming from Haiti, but I'm excited about, you know, what where things are going in Haiti. We'll be able to talk more about it next week, hopefully. And, wow, I'm at Haiti. Think about it. That sounded like a hurricane blowing through.
I think it was.
And, you know, that, you know, God shook. I mean, Haiti was shaken to its core.
Mm-hmm.
Haiti was shaken to its core. And God began to stir the people's heart. And all of a sudden, they began to cry out to God. Of all the things to cry out for, they cried out for the Lord at a time like that. Which there's a lot of believers in Haiti, but they're overwhelmed quite often with the voodoo and mm-hmm. all the other things that are going on as well. And I believe the population, 50% of the population is under 17 years old or under. 50%.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine having that many teenagers?
Oh, my goodness.
You know, they need fathers.
Right.
They need fathers. They need a father's hand.
Right.
And I'm excited about meeting with Keith Lashbrook, hopefully next week. And we're going to talk about, you know, just here. I just got a letter from Keith, and mm-hmm. and I don't know what's going on yet, but I'm excited to hear about, you know, he's going, you know what? I'm going to be there for them. They need the Father's hand there. And and I don't know. I just got a letter.
Yeah.
And I know if I'm the son and you're coming for me.
Yeah.
I'm encouraged. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
You know, I'm encouraged that, you're reaching out your hand in the name of God to come down and to help me and to teach me the ways of the Father. And I don't know, but I know Keith and Cindy and the love of them. I'm looking forward to, and I hadn't talked to them in a while. We've been so busy, you know, with everything that's being launched. But I can't wait. I can't wait to meet and find out what's going on. And I know that those beautiful children down in Haiti, mm-hmm. You know, Jared spent, what, yeah. 6 weeks?
6 weeks, yeah.
6 weeks down there. And we got to share some of his. He was there. He was in Haiti. You got to get this. Jared was in Haiti.
Yeah.
And predominantly everybody there is black and he's white, mm-hmm. right? And so he's walking down the street in Haiti and everybody's saying to him and they're speaking in Creole, they're going, blah, blah, blah. And I said, what does that mean? They're going, white, white, white. And I mean, it's blah, blah, blah. I mean, y'all can let me know what the word is. But anyway, they're basically, as you walk down the streets, everybody in Haiti's just going, white, white, white. And I said, well, what did you say back? He goes, black, black, black. He said, they totally love soccer there.
Oh, wow.
I mean, some, the whole Haitian people just gather around and they play basketball barefooted on concrete.
Wow.
You know, we could barely play in tennis shoes right now. I need a respirator just to, anyway. So the, speaking of that, our friend with a forward movement is doing his basketball. Man, I'm just drawing blanks this morning, man. I'm just, you know, help me out there, Pat.
Give me some hints.
We'll talk more about that in a moment. My brain kicks in this morning. I don't know what it is. But, you know, there's so many people doing so many wonderful things for the Lord. And it is so cool. Don't ever stop. Realize this, that no matter what you do for the Lord, no matter what you do for him, do it with all of your heart, knowing that nothing you do for him is in vain. Not one thing. You know, when I think about it, I just even, you know, Roger Dutremble. Roger Dutremble's doing a basketball camp right now, mm-hmm. and he has all these wonderful kids who have single mothers and foster homes and all that. And he goes and he spends time with them. He used to be a coach on the Lakers.
The Lakers, yeah.
And you know, I've served on his board for a period of time, and he came out and then spoke at one of our what's called Next Step Outbacks now, the Father and Son mm-hmm. Camping Trips, and he's just a cool dude, you know. He's mm-hmm. he's definitely a basketball coach.
Oh yeah.
And he helped Jared. Jared went through one of the camps, you know, years ago, and he was telling him, like, get your hands over your head, and now he got really good at basketball. But Roger is a really cool person. He's working with young people, mm-hmm. working with young people to be able to teach them, you know, how to play basketball. But he's just using the sport for a way to be able to speak in their life. And it's just really cool. We just thank, you know, Roger, you know, for doing that. And his ministry is called Global Sports Reach. Mm-hmm. And he's going into other countries. He's taking basketball teams into Jordan and other countries around the world and kind of just integrating the players and letting them experience other things. But you can find out about his ministry at globalsportsoutreach.org. Mm-hmm. Globalsportsoutreach.org. Well, praise God. Well, I want to go back to Haiti for a moment. First of all, it's good to have you back.
I'm glad to be back.
Oh, my goodness. It's a long drive to, everybody thinks, you know, Florida is just this little small little panhandle thing, but it's mm-hmm. a very long.
It is, and I've been to the other end of it.
You have?
That's like 14, 15 hour drive.
Wow. But you were diving.
Well, yeah, it was worth it.
Right. Yes, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful. That was a Superman picture that they had at your roast, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that one.
And that wasn't a dinner. Oh, it was dinner. You were having you for dinner for that whole thing.
Yeah, that was
you.
Funny.
That was pretty good. That was for your 50th, right?
My 30th.
Serious?
No.
I don't remember that. How long ago was that? 10 years? 20
last
years?
Last year. I'm only 32.
32. Well, you know, we're going to have John on today, but some things came up, and so hopefully he can be with us on Monday, but he has things to share with us. But he's got to tell us about this. You know, he went to Pennsylvania to take his son Elijah to a time of rite of passage, you know, moving into mm-hmm. this time of Elijah's a real cool young man, and he's becoming a young man in the Lord. And he took him on zip lines and all these different things. I can't wait for him to be able to share all this stuff. But even while they're in the midst of this whole thing going on, you know, as they're celebrating, having a great time as a father and a son, and camping out and playing and all the things that you do, and just talking about God and doing different things, you know, just kind of recognize him as a young man and all, mm-hmm. that his car, his vehicle. Now, here he's in Pennsylvania. He lives 10 miles outside of New York.
Right.
Now he's in Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
And it's John. He's camping. John's camping. You know what I'm saying? Like, he needs all the breaks he can get when he's camping. You know, everything needs to work right. The flight, the limousine, the the cabin,
the chauffeur,
the attendants that work with him.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's got to work just right. No. And he and Elijah, all of a sudden, I guess he starts smelling smoke. He could tell you about this. I was hoping he'd be able to tell today. But the car, his van car thing, it's a combo. What's it called?
It's a Pacifica. Looks like a combo.
It's a crossover.
SUV crossover type
crossover.
Thing.
And it caught on fire, dude.
Yeah.
It caught on fire. And literally, they had to jump out the car and grab a few things. And because of the transmission or something, he was in the mountains, you know, going from, and he can tell us more about it, but they had to stand there watching the car burn while they're on this camping trip. It's like, oh my goodness, you know, and they were just troopers. They just went ahead and picked up a rental car. They got everything out that was important because they already had a lot of stuff at their suite, you know, their campsite, and they just went straight from picking up the car to going to doing zip lining and all that, and the insurance company showed up and gave them a rental car and all that. But isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
wow.
They burned the car down. Oh, it's like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I'm just so proud of them, how they handled it and didn't stop and continued on, you know, just having a good time. It's so important. You know, it's one chance in a lifetime you get a chance to do that with your father or, you know, with your son. Man, the news is just, it's amazing. This, you know, we have so many different sources of news coming in today. You can't, it just, it news finds you.
Mm. Even, can't get from.
Yeah, I know. But make sure, you know, I want to talk about the top five stories on the VFN TV blog. And that's our good news, you know, that we have. And we always talk about the top five. What is the top five? Mm-hmm. And, you know, over almost 9,000 you know, viewers are coming in and listening and reading and everything we're offering out there. And we're excited about that. But the top five today on the VFN TV blog, and you can get to it at VFNTV.com, is the first one is, which I'm really glad about this, because we're getting, the whole point is we want to get educated. We want to learn, you know, God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And so we just need to get knowledge. But with knowledge, we need wisdom. How do we apply that knowledge?
Mm-hmm.
Not just to know something. And the number one on the VFN TV blog today is Islam transforming through migration and immigration. Mm-hmm. And you got to see that, because it'll show the numbers, it'll show the birth rate, you know, compared to the American birth rate, the European birth rate, and the Muslim birth rate, and how just through birthing and migration alone, choosing to have a child instead of abort a child,
right,
choosing to get married and have children and raise them instead of living for oneself. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
This is what they're choosing to do for Muhammad. You know what I'm saying? What will we do for Jesus? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So you can find out about that and realize, you know, if the church just rises up and just begins to go back to what God says about family, repent from all of our sins and things that we've done, realize that if we don't stop now, because America's like right on the edge of the birth rate that required that you have to maintain over a 25-year period to be able to sustain a population.
All right.
And we're just about to click under that. If we click under that, you can't sustain it. We'll no longer be America itself. The culture itself will not be. And you see what's happening right now with all the different things. So second one is, you know, where to start with transformation. That was number one yesterday. It's number two today. Praise God, it's still up there. Listen, there's hope no matter where you are, no matter what expression you're in. Realize you answer to God alone. So do what you got to do. Do your own homework. Verify everything that we say and other people say with the Bible, the Word of God, and spend time abiding. There is a story on the VFN TV blog about where to start with transformation. It'll give you the tools that you need to start with you and work your way out. And no matter what gathering you're at of believers that you gather with as a family, you can be the epicenter, the one that God looks for, because he looks for just one to stand in the gap and to begin to be personally transformed and help others be transformed in hearing the voice of God. The third one is racism. You know, the question is there racism still in the church? And it's with Derek talking about his encounters there. And you got to hear it. We talked a lot about it yesterday in the top five. You can hear that as well again. But basically, you know, you got to hear it because we got to deal with this. Mm-hmm. And if we don't deal with this, and it can't be dealt with in that format, the traditional format that we've grown into is strangers coming together who it's like Facebook. Mm-hmm. You know, Facebook people say, you know, hey, I got 100 friends. I got 500 friends, but they don't really know each other. Mm-hmm. They just friended each other.
Right.
And so if you had to ask them something about them, they would have had to go read your post or something because they don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the traditional expression today, I mean, strangers sit by each other. They friended each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If you ask them, say, oh, yeah, yeah. And then you ask them like three questions like, what is your pastor's name? I'm serious.
Oh, my goodness.
And they're stuck. They're stuck. You know, who do you sit by? What do you mean sit by? I just go.
Yeah.
You know, and or... You know, tell me something about the people, their lives. And it's not that everybody's not Christians. It's not that everybody's not believers. It's like, it ain't working.
Uh-huh.
That if somebody will call the police on a brother, uh-huh. if somebody will call the police on a brother in the Lord, a sister would call on a brother in the Lord because she doesn't know him. It just ain't working. Uh-huh. You know, she and Derek should have eaten together. They should have spent time together. And she would have fallen in love with Derek like we fell in love with Derek. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's not working. When they're calling the police on their brother, it's not working. And you got to hear that. That's number three. Number four is an explanation of America and Islam. It's an explanation of America and Islam. These are the titles of them so you can find them. And the Muslim Brotherhood. It's a simple whiteboard drawing of how, telling you how it all came to pass and why they're wanting a caliphate, why they're wanting to do what they're doing, and why they're anti-colonials. And it's not these other things that are going on, but it's anti colonialism, where they want to go back to where it was prior to Great Britain and America. And so it'll explain that to you. And he does say one thing on there at the end of his video, and this is we're just sharing other people's information with that aspect of it. So that's not we didn't do that. But he says on the end, I don't agree with what, you know, he said that they're playing the president for a fool. And even if they are, you know, we wouldn't say that. But that's what's said on there just to let you know that we're not in agreement with that particular statement because we want to honor our president and what's going on. And the last one, number five, is Drew Brees.
All right.
Is that not cool?
Cool.
You got to find out. You can hear Drew Brees' testimony and Jeremy Lin's testimony between the two of them, $125 million.
Wow.
I mean, they honored God.
That's right.
And God honored them. Is that not cool?
Amen.
That is cool. So cool. $125 million. Five-year contract for Drew.
Mm-hmm.
And he has his personal testimony on there. Jeremy's got his personal testimony. The New York lost him. Man, I can't believe that they gave up Jeremy Lin, you know.
Yeah.
And I can't believe it. You know, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But Houston, look what you're getting, Jeremy Lin. So I will be coming down and staying with you guys and watching Jeremy Lin play. I was going to be so cool to be able to score some tickets now before the price goes up
because
they're going to have to pay that $25 million to him. You imagine $25 million?
Wow.
We'll be right back.
Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org. Let me tell you a little bit about it. You got to understand how things start and what God says and how God, when he begins to do something, a new thing, a new work,
mm-hmm.
he will normally call a people out from what he presently or in the past established so he can begin not a new gospel, but a fresh wind, a fresh anointing for the next generation,
mm-hmm.
you know. And one thing that we found out at Vine Fellowship Network is that, you know, God was preparing us for this next season of what's taking place. It really looks like possibly for the end times,
right.
you know. But either way, it's for our generation, you know. And at Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU, you can actually begin to learn and grow because God's called you into the harvest field. It's not really an option. It's not the great option. It's mm-hmm. or the suggestion. It's the Great Commission. And in VFNU, you'll learn the history of how did the Vine Fellowship Network come to pass. I mean, how did it happen? And it came from a compelling and a word and a direction from God,
mm-hmm.
and totally in alignment. Everything that we're aware of that is a related and scripturally correct. It just ties in. You can't help but look in every direction and Vine Fellowship Network University, the pattern, the biblical pattern that he's called us to walk out, which is just the word of God, mm-hmm. that it reminds you of God.
Right.
You know, and a true prophet draws you closer to God, and a false prophet draws you closer to themselves. Mm-hmm. And our desire at Vine Fellowship Network University and VFN is to for you to be drawn closer to God. A byproduct of that is you're going to be closer to your brothers and sisters in the Lord. But that as you're closer to God, you're hungrier for God. So in VFNU, you learn things about, you know, how the church is to function. You know, right now, we've taken on so many mindsets of the world, especially the American board business mindset, mm-hmm. that we're convinced that the Father's business is like the world's business, but is not.
Right.
And we also talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in the church. You know, what is, you can't rule out the one who's supposed to be, you know, ruling the church and under Jesus, and understanding how control is God, and understanding the importance of being rightly related. There's biblical daily, weekly, there's patterns that we as believers that God tells us to go by in his word, and you'll discover what they mean biblically, how they fit, financial integrity, you know, finding out how we can best do what's right before God in our financial areas, mm-hmm. discovering the biblical patterns of gathering as a church, the importance of maintaining your confidence, understanding the voice of the Lord, how God can speak with you, to you, mm-hmm. you know, biblical foundations of faith, dealing with authority, zero tolerance, walk, worship, and warfare. I mean, there's so many things that you learn through VFNU mm-hmm. that it just empowers you to do what God's called you to do. Listen, we want to see everything that God's called you to be manifest in your life, and we want to see you in the Great Commission. We're in agreement with you. Find out more at vfnu.org. That's vfnu.org. There comes a point in time when God begins to call his people to himself. He begins to call out to our hearts, call out as deep calls into deep. He begins to lure us to himself and speak to us and reaffirm us. And sometimes he just says, listen, I'll just forget all that. I'll forgive all that. Just come back. Let's reboot. Let's go back to the cross. Let's go back to your first love. Listen, God, even though the condition of where we are right now in America, where the condition of the world is, and it's not good, I mean, God's still calling himself a people. He's calling right out. The question is, will you respond? It's to you. It's not to the person on your left. It's not to the person on your right. You know, if what you're doing is not what God says to do, mm-hmm. wouldn't you ask yourself, what then should I do? Right. What does God's word tell me to do? I mean, you've got to be, I mean, think about Steve Hill. Mm-hmm. You think about Steve Hill. He just wanted God desperately. I think about, you know, Brother John Kilpatrick, when he said, mm-hmm. when God began to pour himself out on Father's Day of 1995, even prior to that or during, he says, listen, I don't care where God is moving. Wherever he's moving, that's where I'm going to be. We have to become that desperate. As a matter of fact, Steve Hill right now begins to talk about the condition of America, and I'll be right back.
This is what I'll come do, okay? And I want to talk about a move of God, revival, just for a few minutes. And our nation right now is in terrible shape. Our nation needs something besides religion. And religion is hanging around the cross. Christianity is getting on the cross. Okay? Religion is, and America right now is hanging around the cross. Okay? The cross has benefits. Okay? There's great benefits to Christianity. But Jesus got on it. And he talked to his disciples about getting on it. And so revival to me is a little bit more, there's a little bit more sacrifice involved in it.
And it's exactly what you think about it, that is what it takes. And he proved it with his life. He proved it by saying, you know, I'm desperate for God. I'm willing to get on the cross. God has called us to pick up our cross and follow him. Mm-hmm. Follow him. And what we do, we're together because we're following him. I mean, he's what we have in common. If you're ready to follow him, if that's you, if you don't want to see this nation just go by the wayside, you don't want to see it just set aside. You know, God is looking for a people. Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Maybe, just maybe, the VFN family's for you, or someone that is moving in the context of what God is doing in this day as well, across the earth. Check it out, vfnfamily.org, where we're not just talking about it. we're doing it. BFNfamily.org. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. With me in the studios is Pat Hamilton. We want to talk about the moment of wisdom. Every day we have a moment of wisdom. We want the wisdom of God. Really what you're looking at in America right now, and what you're looking at a lot in a lot of the church is there's a lot of knowledge, there's a lot of teachers, you know, but the wisdom comes with, you know, fathers, you know, have wisdom, you know, those, you know, fathers in the Lord, and that you get it from the Word of God, spending time with God. Of all the things that Solomon could have asked for when he was chosen as David's son, as the third king of Israel, the third.
He was the third.
And was, give me wisdom on how to lead your people. And I encourage everyone that's listening, that's whether you're in a business, a Christian business owner, whether you're a father or a mother that's leading a family, you know, whether you are leading a congregation or a fellowship or a gathering of believers, you know, kind of knock everything off your list right now and cry out for wisdom. We need wisdom. We're about to lose this puppy.
Yep.
You know, and if we lose this freedom, you know, we're going into bondage. We're going into captivity. Church is going to live. It's going to thrive. Matter of fact, it may very well, quite often, it'll thrive. and we always said, whatever it takes to win the lost. But it sure would be a waste that we have to be in a time of suffrage and bondage. That Ananias and Sapphira has to fall out before the fear of the Lord spreads.
Right.
And many people are won to the Lord. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
Ask for a wisdom and the fear of the Lord. So we talk about it every single day. And today is the 19th of the month. So we look at the 19th chapter of Proverbs, and it's 19:21. And what I'm going to talk about is the creator of the universe, Father God, he's pro-choice. He is pro-choice. Not pro-choice like people today are talking about pro-choice. But he's into you choosing. He does not choose for us. He always lays before us options. And so the proverb for today is Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purposes that prevail. Let me say it again. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purposes that prevail. I mean, think about it. God has given each of us freedom, but it's freedom to choose. It's freedom to choose. You know, actually, God is pro-choice, not in the sense, you know, of course, that we're talking about in America. You hear people talking about pro-choice means actually I can choose to take your life. That's not pro-choice. That baby didn't have a choice. That's not
right.
You know, but God is obviously allowing you to choose to take that child's life. But pro-choice for each of us, his goal was to have pro-choice for each of us. His design is not his goal is for each of us to decide what we're going to do with this life that he's given us. What are we going to do with this life? What choices are we going to make in regards to us choosing to have a relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ? I mean, think about it. For us who actually choose God through his son, Jesus Christ, it's a choice that we make. We're making a choice.
Right.
I mean, it's not forced upon. God does not force us to choose him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you see men, when they're religions, you'll see what they'll do. They're man-made religions, and they're perceived gods, and it's all about forcing people to be in compliance, and there's no choice.
All right.
You know, there's no choice. This is how it is. And we serve a God that says, you know, I put before you blessings and cursings. I put before you life and death. You choose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the sin nature, the flesh nature of us, you know, our flesh nature will just say, just make the choice for us.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's no relationship there. The relationship is when you choose every single day that you get up and you abide with God and you choose to follow him, you're making a choice to follow him. And that's a choice. He is pro-choice. He wants to see what you're going to do. Though he allows for circumstances to help give us contrast, if you would, between the choices to help us make a better choice, he will not make the choice for us.
Right.
I mean, think about it. I mean, he will allow things. You'll consider hardship as discipline. God is treating you as a son. For what son is not disciplined? What son does not go through hardship?
Mm-hmm.
Yet,
though God allows these hardships to come upon people or person or us, the hardship at some point is to be able to motivate us to decide what we're going to do. We need to make a choice. And so many people are thinking that God's going to make the choice for them, and they're sitting back waiting on God. He's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
He's waiting for you. What choice are you going to make? I mean, think about it. When God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, he also placed, what, the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. God told them, don't eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Mm-hmm. But he left the choice.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, Lord, please don't give me choices. I'm not always good with choices. I'm at Romans 17. You know, Paul's talking about, you said, when there's a choice before me and I make a good, my intentions are to choose the good thing. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? He says, I end up choosing the wrong thing. What's wrong? Oh, wretched man that I am.
Yeah,
and he talks
yeah.
about all that. He says, I choose the wrong. I find out the sense, you know. And so, but the whole thing is that, you know, he's going to wait and see what we're going to do. He waited to see what Adam and Eve were going to do in the garden, because every day they didn't choose to eat from the knowledge of good and evil, the tree mm-hmm. of that. They chose to have a relationship with him.
Right.
But he left the choice to them. Mm. He left the choice to them. Of course, they chose to eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. But yet God's purposes were prevail today, because even though all men sinned by their fall in the garden, you know, every man failed, and the original sin was there so that sin could be utterly sinful. But by the time that he brings his son, Jesus, and we'll talk more about that in a moment, there was a clear choice. You know, the world or God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was very clear. So his purposes prevailed. Or even think about this. When Cain was so jealously angry with his brother Abel, you know, he wanted to kill him. And God didn't whack Cain. You know, so many people think, you know, God's going to just whack somebody.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to do that.
Right.
He just told him, say, hey, Cain, you got sin hanging outside your door.
Right.
Why are you looking so sad? Why don't you do what's right? Right?
Yeah, I did.
Why don't you do what's right? And so Cain thought, I got a choice. Am I going to do what's right, or am I going to kill my brother?
Right.
And he chose. He made a choice, didn't he?
He sure did.
He killed his brother. But he made a choice. God left that choice with him. You know, I'm sure Abel, if he was in the meeting, would thought, like, God.
Hello.
You know my brother. He's going to kill me.
Right.
And God's going to say, but my purposes are going to prevail still, because your blood will cry out until the time that I come back. And he says that Abel's blood cries out from the soil today. And all the bloodshed that has happened, every baby that was killed, every murder that was done, you know, every murder that was done, that blood cries out, you know. And that's why we went, by the way, and prayed over murder scenes mm-hmm. where blood was spilt, and for that reason. And so God's purposes prevail because his blood still cries out. Or when God called Noah, think about it. He called Noah to tell the people on the earth for like 125 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and every day for 125 years, he said, I have a multiple choice test for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's either yes or no. And he would preach the yes and no, and he'd wait for their answer. I mean, for 125 years, he said there's a choice, because and God was allowing, you know, everyone, including Noah and his family, to decide if they were going to follow God's way or not. What were they going to choose? And they continued to walk in evil. Their minds were their minds and their heart were on evil 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he gave them the choice. For 125 years, he gave them a choice. When they were outside the ark, they chose to be outside the ark. But Noah chose to be inside the ark.
Mm-hmm.
This is so important, because God is pro-choice. He's waiting for you to choose. He's not going to choose for you. He may encourage you with a little calamity, may you lose a little few things.
Right.
You may go through a time of suffering because of your choices, but he's saying to you this. He says, I don't want eternal damnation for you. I don't want you to end up separate from me. Mm-hmm. I want you to be in relationship with me forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about that. So, but he still allowed everybody to make the decision. So God's purposes prevailed, as he wanted to purge the earth of those who had their minds and hearts set on evil 24 hours a day. And everybody that chose to go with the evil way, his purposes prevailed, because he wanted to start again.
Mm-hmm.
And he started again with Noah. That was his purposes prevailed. People say, I don't know if I'm from Adam and Eve, but think about it. You're definitely from Adam and Eve, but then again, now you're from Noah and his family, right? Because everybody died at the time of the flood.
That's right.
So
Or think about even God when God chose Abram or Abraham. It wasn't a guarantee. It was not a guarantee that God's promises were going to come to pass in his life. It was an option for him. Get thee up and go and I'll show you. Mm-hmm. You know, but God still waited to see if Abraham would believe him, have faith in him, would fear him only, you know what I'm saying? And Abraham did all of these. But most of all, on Mount Moriah, he went there and he was willing to sacrifice the promise. Mm-hmm. He was willing to give up his son, to sacrifice his son. And it was there that God said, you've made a good choice.
Right.
Don't kill the lad. I'll provide for you a sacrifice. But he waited to see if Abraham, what choice he was going to make.
Mm-hmm.
What choice he was going to make. There's so many people sitting back just thinking the choices have been made already. But you're going to be held accountable not only for the choices that you made, but you're going to be held accountable for every word that you say.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Judged or acquitted based on you know. And so he made that choice then, and this is what God said. God said what he said in the beginning. He goes, now I see you fear me. Now I'll give you everything I said I'll give you. Most people go, what? I thought I had it all along.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, you had choices to make along the way, and you did well. He's the father of faith. He made the choices trusting in God. And it's pretty cool because, you know, God is known as God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob's other name after wrestling with God was
Israel.
And so today Israel's around because God, what was God's purposes and why did they prevail? Because he wanted a chosen people. He chose Abraham and he worked through Abraham for his purposes to prevail. And today we're looking at Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel. Why? Because God's purposes prevailed because Abraham made the right choices by faith. So somebody had to make choices all along the way. I mean, when God chose the very first king of Israel,
mm-hmm.
you know, quite often that's why we're talking about this is because, you know, when people read that proverb, they think, oh, you know, it doesn't matter what I say or what I do. It's just going to go God's way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever will be, will be. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily true. I mean, God's purposes will prevail, but if you make a wrong choice, you won't be a part of his prevailing right. purposes. You know what I'm saying? So when God chose Saul, the very first king of Israel, he told Saul what was expected of him. And let Saul decide if he was going to follow God and his ways. I mean, he gave him the leadership of God's people. And he said, okay, decide. Make some choices here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So God's sitting here leaning over the banister of heaven. Just kind of imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's watching you. He's watching yeah. Saul. Mm-hmm. What's he going to do? What choices are going to make? And God watched King Saul to see what he would do. And King Saul decided not to follow God's way and took matters into his own hands.
Mm-hmm.
This is what God regretted the day. Think about it. He regretted the day, he said, that he ever made Saul king mm-hmm. because he failed to seek him and to go after him and do things his way. But his purposes prevailed because he looked and found a man after his own heart, and his purpose wasn't Saul. His purpose was a people to be able to be protected, and that man was David, and he raised up King David, a man after his own heart, and brought him back, and David made the right choices, even though he chose not to lay his hands on God's anointing. He chose to be faithful to the Father. He chose to confront the uncircumcised Philistines and the things that, I mean, he made all the right choices, even though he wasn't perfect. He knew, and he sought the Lord, and he chose good things, and now, from his lineage, is the prevailing purposes of God, which is Jesus Christ, came from the lineage of David. Listen, you're going to have to make some choices. Today's wisdom, we're talking about, if you don't choose, you know, if you don't make a choice, it's not going to just happen. You're going to have to choose today who you're going to serve.
Right.
But think about it. Father God gave Jesus Christ, his son, a choice to follow him. He had to choose a choice to follow him or not, to be the sacrifice for all sins or not. And then he waited to see what he was going to do. Jesus, although he was all man and all God, he made a choice not to exercise any of his God qualities in regards to calling down legions of angels. He would just wait for the Father to give him the unction, to be able to do what he wanted to do. He followed the Father. Mm-hmm. And so in that, God just watched. Father mm-hmm. God just watched him and see what he was going to do. But yet God's purposes prevailed. Jesus was tempted in every way. yet he chose not to sin. He chose not to sin. It wasn't like a given. I mean, he chose not to sin because he would loud, even though he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. With loud cries and petitions, he cried out to the one who could save him from himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's making choices. I'm going to turn to the Father. I need help. I'm being tempted. These things are going on. He was tempted in every way, but every time he was tempted, unlike us, you know, unlike us, he said no.
All right.
He made a choice to live a sinless life. And when he could have sinned, he chose not to sin. He made a choice to follow the Father instead and follow his ways. Even the point where he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and a huge choice, the final choice was laid before him that was going to change the life as we know it, eternity as we know it, the ability to have a relationship with the creator of the universe or not. He sat there and he sweated drops of blood because there was a choice before him. And the prevailing purposes of God were weighing in the balance. And the question was, would Jesus be a part? Would he make a choice to be a part of the prevailing purposes of God? Would he obey the Father? And he expressed the choice. He said, I would that you would not have to have the choice of drinking this cup of crucifixion and dying. But then he said, you know what? I know what you want. Mm-hmm. So not my choice, but your choice be done, mm-hmm. right?
Right?
Not my will, but your will be done. He chose the will of the Father, the will of God over his own will. That's called the perfect, that's sacrificial life. When you live, when you choose every day to say, I'm not going to be in that wrong relationship. I'm not going to go to that sin anymore. I'm going to turn to the cross. I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to slander. I'm not going to go the ways of the world. I'm not going to buy into the false doctrines that are just rampant today. You are worshiping God. You're choosing to worship him. And God's prevailing purposes, because Jesus chose this right way, the God's way, that his God's purposes prevailed through Jesus, because he became the righteous sacrifice, making Jesus the only way. I mean, there wouldn't have been a way. Imagine trying to get to a location, but there's no way to get there.
Right.
There's no doors on the room. There's no doors on the house.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? There's no gate on the fence. You can't get in. I mean, heaven would be horrific if there was no gate to get in heaven.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And Jesus was that gate. If that wouldn't happen, we'd be knocking on the wall. We wouldn't be there at all.
Mm-mm.
So when it came time for Jesus to be arrested, I'm talking about God's pro-choice. We're talking about his prevailing purposes. We have to understand this, because right now, the church across the world, but definitely the American church, we have a choice to make. We can choose religion. We can choose tradition and just say, whatever will be. And believe me, it won't be good.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can choose to follow God. We can make the everyday choices as we abide with him. Because when it came time for Jesus to be arrested and take this journey to the cross to take on the sins of man, when they arrested him, he chose not to call down legions of angels to stop the arrest. And he could have just said, stop,
mm-hmm.
freeze.
Yeah.
But he chose not to. They took him before the high priest and they lied about it. They lied about God. I mean, you're caring all about people lying about you? Get used to it. If they call Jesus Satan, you can choose to follow God even when they're calling you Satan. They took him before the high priest and they lied about him, yet he chose to say nothing in his defense, choosing to entrust his justice, the justice that would be due him, to the Father. He didn't even defend himself.
All right.
Every day you have a choice to say, are you going to defend yourself? The second you start defending yourself, you already bit the bait, and it ain't going to be good.
Right.
That's the whole thing. The enemy just wants to get you in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're coming to you to fight you, that means they already know they've lost.
Right.
So it's like, well, you're here anyway, right? And so, but he chose to say nothing. They punched Jesus in the face. They spit on him and they took his clothes and gambled over, but he chose to remain silent like a sheep. Listen, like a sheep going to the slaughter. And God's purposes prevailed because he made those choices and he became the Lamb of God.
Mm.
He was like a lamb going to the slaughter who offered up not one defense. And he became, because he chose to lay down his life, he became the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world.
Wow.
These are choices.
Mm-hmm.
They whipped him till his flesh was split. How could this be God's prevailing purposes? And he chose to take every beating. And God's prevailing purposes came to pass. What? By his stripes we were healed.
All right.
You know, if you don't go through something, if you don't follow God through something, you'll never be a source for the next generation. You're going to have to wake up. God's prevailing purposes, yes, are going to prevail. But you have to make a choice whether you're going to be a part of it or not. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's God's purposes that prevail. Get in the purposes of God. He's got a plan to redeem mankind. He's looking for those who will stand in the gap to raise up and say, here I am. Because once Jesus went through the time of learning obedience through what he suffered, he became a source for eternal life. God's looking for people who will become a source under his son, Jesus Christ, who will lead other people to his voice. They pressed a crown of thorns in his head, laid him on a wooden cross, and nailed each hand and his feet to the cross. And then they stood the cross up and crucified him publicly before the world. He chose to be the sacrifice for sin. He made the choice. And when he was hanging on the cross, taking his last breath in this season that he was being crucified, he chose to forgive the ones who were nailing him to the cross and who betrayed him. He said, Father, forgive them. He chose that, for they know not what they do.
Amazing.
What choices are you making today? What choices are you making? God's purposes prevailed, for it was his sacrifice that made it possible for our sins to be forgiven and for us to be in relationship with God if we choose what Jesus did for us. But we have to choose again.
All right.
And as Jesus, upon his death on the cross, went to the depths of hell.
Mm-hmm.
He chose to go to the depths of hell. And he took back the keys to death, hell, and the grave.
That's right.
But he never could have done that choice if he wouldn't have made the choice to go to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people are trying to get victory over death, hell, and the grave, but they won't deny themselves.
Right.
They won't make a choice to deny themselves. So that we could spend eternity with the Father forever. The choices that Jesus made allows us to make a choice for Jesus today. Today, right now, the Father has given you a choice. He is a pro-choice God. Not like this world. I'm talking about he wants you to make a choice. And you've been given the ability to make a choice just like Adam and Eve. The choice he places before you is simple. But it's yours to make. He has placed before you the ability to choose life or death, heaven or hell, forgiveness of all your sin or eternal consequences for not confessing them. Just like he has, since the day of his creation, has given us an ability to make a choice and waits for us to do it, he will not make the choice for you.
Right.
He will not. I don't care how rough your circumstances and what you're going through. You need to ask the question, is there something I'm supposed to be deciding in this? Is there a choice I'm supposed to be making?
Right.
I want to be in the prevailing purposes of God. I don't want to. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's your plans that prevail, Father. Mm-hmm. So do I need to make a different choice here? I mean, there's not. It's, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Ask the question.
Yeah.
America, you're falling to your knees. There's holes in the ship. The ship is going down. It's a good question to ask God right now. Am I making the right choices? Because it will live or it will die, as we know it, based on the choice that you make as the church. Mm-hmm. He will not make the choice for you, nor can anyone else make the choice for you. Just tell me what to do.
Tell me what to do. Make the choice for me. Nor can you live off someone else's choice. Everybody has to make a choice. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to accept Jesus Christ? It's your choice. He's waiting. He wants you, but you have to decide. All the way from the, I could go on for hours telling you the choices that he gave men and how many times men have blown it. But because Jesus made the perfect choice, we can choose Jesus, and by his grace and by his mercy, we can make it in. Mm-hmm. We can be forgiven. Will you choose to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Will you bow your knee before him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Will you choose to follow him in his ways? All of creation is waiting. What choice are you going to make? If you want to make that choice right now, just do it now. Do it now. He's right near you. He's seeing if you're going to reach out for him. Say, Father, I want you. Jesus, I need you. I make a choice this moment. I make a choice at this moment that I want to make you the Lord of my life. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know, but I'm going to begin the journey. Jesus, I'm crying out to you. Father, I want to be with you. I see there's a way I could be in relationship with you through your son, Jesus Christ, and because of your choice to sacrifice him, Father, and because of Jesus' choice to be the sacrifice, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. If you made that choice, let us know. Go to VFNTV.com and let us know. Also, if you need some help understanding or walking through this, go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. And it'll walk you through exactly what just happened and giving you biblical alignment with what's going on and bring you into the family of God. It's meetmyfather.org. What is today's proverb? The wisdom moment? Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's plans that prevail. We'll be right back.
Well, you know, you think about, you know, when you get saved, the first thing you want to do is what? You want to know more about Jesus, right?
That's right.
And so you start reading the Bible. You're excited about reading the Bible. And then you think you know, when you want to learn how to read and write and add, you want to go to school, right?
Sure.
You know, and let me tell you about my experience. So I got excited, man. I'm just in love with Jesus. I read the Bible all the way through. It may have been the first book I ever read all the way through. And I'm just pumped. I'm floating, man. You know, I'm the police, you know, and I'm just excited and just totally, you know. And so then I apply for Bible school. I'm just so committed, you know. I'm like, I filled out this application to be able to go to Bible school, you know, me and Jesus. Yeah. And so I go through all the processes of approval, and I walk through the whole traditional cycle, you know, and I make it through references and all this kind of stuff. And I finally go to the pastor's office, you know. I get back there and I sit down. I just share my juvenile in the Lord heart with him about, you know, what I felt like to do. And he was just very encouraging, you know. And he signed my application to go somewhere else to get an education, you know. You think I could have got one there with 1,200 people. Anyway, so then I go send my application off. So I'm waiting patiently for my application to come from the Bible school that the whole world is supposed to be talking about. And I get a reply back from them. They tell me, listen, John, are you hearing me? Listen to this.
I'm hearing.
They said I wasn't saved long enough to go to school. I got rejected, man. They wouldn't even let me go to school, man.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you do with that? I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know? And so I'm dealing with this personal rejection that I can't learn about Jesus. I'm not saved enough to know him yet. There's nobody discipling me. I got a reference to go to this place. I guess the school is just not here today, by the way. It didn't last that long. It kind of closed up.
Wow.
It's kind of good. I don't have it hanging on my wall. But, you know, that's what VFNU is about. You know, Vine Fellowship Network University is that, you know, I can feel your pain. If you're listening right now and you love Jesus, you know, you just want to know more about him. And I want to encourage you to find out more on VFNU.org today. That's not how Jesus is. Remember, the Pharisees were amazed that simple fishermen were being used. That they had a deep education, and they knew you had to have the Bible memorized to be a Pharisee. You know, and by the age of 40, Paul had it memorized. But they were using simple fishermen. God was using simple fishermen, and they just couldn't get it. And but just because they couldn't get it didn't mean they didn't have it. They had Jesus, you know what I'm saying, amongst them, and God was moving. So I want to encourage you that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. If you're feeling called in to know more about Jesus, you know, possibly even called to even, you know, go into the harvest field, you know, be a minister, to be a shepherd, a pastor, maybe even a church plant. You can find out more at vfnu.org. Pat.
Yes.
I am looking right now at the blog, the VFN TV and Daily Radio Program blog,
right,
which you can get to at vfntv.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many things on here, so many wonderful things. I mean, think about it.
Right.
I mean, think about the role of the Holy Spirit, this humorous thing. It's so funny. This dad is screaming right, this roller coaster ride. You know, one of the things, this is called silver-coated lips and deadly motives. What is that?
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness. You know, it was raining sideways. You remember that? Was
oh, my goodness.
All this is available right here. A story about Peter Wagner and Steve Hill, about what's taking place and how, you know, that VFN family, the VFN Fine Fellowship Network, is a significant part of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how honoring our soldiers, the strategy of walking with God. You know, healthcare. What's God's perspective on healthcare? You know, R.A. Dickey of the New York Mets. His testimony's in there. And he's sitting there holding up a baseball with iabide.org. America is a republic. It's not a democracy. I'm learning these things right now because I'm actually looking at the VFN TV blog.
All right.
You know, it's time to be shrewd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus said that he commended the manager because the owner commended the manager because he was a shrewd manager. It's time to be shrewd. I think I'm going to read this right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
America is a byproduct of the kingdom of God. I thought that it was the other way around.
Right.
There's so many wonderful things that you can find out. And reading over the Book of Mormon about Mormonism, I want to find out what's up with that.
Mm-hmm.
I need to find out what that is. Is that you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. We're looking at, you know, Rosenberg's book and the America's economic, you know, crisis. What's taking place right there? Oh, there's even something here about, did you know that at one time in America that if a man saw a woman's ankles, he'd have to marry her?
Oh no, really?
Yeah, it was in Charles. Anyway, you can find out. He said, don't let him see your angles because you'll have to marry him. You can find that on the VFN TV blog. There's just so many things, man.
Right.
How to make a hamburger instead of using hamburger buns. You can use Krispy Kreme donuts. There's so many things.
And there's something about heaven, too.
Oh, man. Yeah. It's like 90 minutes in heaven, you know, talking about what's that like with Piper going to heaven. Just you name it, everything about Israel. And if you're not hitting up the blog, if you're not going to the VFN TV blog every day and even subscribing to it, you can go there and you can hover over the right hand corner and subscribe to it. And it comes into your email. You just want to stay in tune. It takes the VFN radio program to the next level. Don't miss it. Just go to VFNTV.com and click on the blog. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and with me in the studios is Pat Hamilton. We're coming to the end of the first hour, and God is pro-choice. Does that kind of blow the mindsets right there, huh?
Yeah, it's amazing.
But you think about it. You think about this, that the VFN TV blog is packed. You got to go to the blog and find out the things that are going on. But the biggest thing I think that's happening is understanding the President Obama's vision for America. You're going to, if you go back and today, I know several of you guys were asking, and the blog is there, but the actual radio segments are also available for each of those. It's in the highlights of your VFN TV app, and it is also available in the blog. So you not only see the content and the pictures and all, but you actually can hear. So today, the most recent highlights will be up probably before days out that you can hear them. And one is the president's a vision for America. You're going to be blown away, and it's all going to make sense. And he is our president. We need to know, what is his direction? Where is he taking us? What is his desire? And what would it be like in 2016 for our country? Is that the direction we want to go? Well, I'll tell you, God bless. For those that have joined us in the first hour, it's VFN Radio. What a wonderful time that we had. Know this, that the Lord is with you. If you're leaving us now, don't forget to catch the extra hour later on or highlights on your phone, iPad, or online. Also, join us for the extra hour today, and you're going to be blessed with the things we're going to be able to share with you that will encourage you and encourage others. All of our Facebook fans, God bless. We love you, and we'll see you on the extra hour.